Would you turn in your Bibles with us to Luke chapter 11 real quick? Luke chapter 11. And I'd like to give you a little lesson here on prayer. This will be the sixth message in the series and on the subject of prayer that we have offered here the past few Sunday nights. The first message was the way to pray, and we suggested that the Bible tells us we ought to pray with a clean heart, a committed heart, and a confident heart. When we do, we know that God hears us and that He answers our prayers, and so that's the way to pray. The second week, we asked the question, or posed the question, why we should pray. And we've been in the midst of giving several answers to that question. That week, we shared with you that the Word of God tells us that we're commanded to pray. In Luke 18:1, the Bible says men ought always to pray. And in other places, we are told that it is our responsibility as a child of God and a command of the Lord that we pray. We ought to pray simply because we're commanded to pray. Now, that doesn't sound real grand and real glorious, and a lot of times we don't like to be told what we're supposed to do, but God knows what's best for us, and that's why He commands us to pray. He desires to give us good gifts, and so that's why we're commanded to pray. It's for our own good that we pray, and we're to be obedient in praying unto the Lord. The following week, we said that we're to pray because we're allowed to pray. Stop and think about that for just a moment. God, the creator of the universe, as the young people sang about, gives us opportunity and entrance into His presence through the avenue of prayer. And He says, you're allowed to be there. If you're saved, born again, blood bought, redeemed, you have a right to go before God and to kneel before Him in prayer and to make your petitions known unto Him. We're allowed to. There's a president that sets the White House of our country, but he's never one time sent an invitation to this preacher and said, you're allowed to call upon me anytime you want to. Now, that may be possible to do that, but I haven't been given a direct invitation to do that. But I've received an invitation from God Almighty, a personal invitation to call upon Him. I'm allowed to do that because I'm a child of God. That blesses my soul. A third reason why we are to pray, we said, is because others need us to pray. Others need us to pray. You may not be interested or desire to pray for things in your own life. You just may not want to do that. You say, it's too much work, and I'm just not that committed, and I just don't want to enter into that. But you know what? Others need us to pray. There's a list of people that ought to be lifted up before the Lord. And we encourage you to take the prayer list, to pick it up when it's offered, and to pray for those folks on a regular basis. Brother Gentry is praying that God would open the door for him to have some meetings so that he can present the work in Africa, and so that more supporters can be gained, so that the work can go forward in Africa. We ought to be praying with him about that. And if you're not already, I encourage you to do so. He mentioned that we need to pray that the Lord will locate for him a 40-foot sea container that can be loaded with things that are valuable to the people in Africa and shipped to them. They're hard to come by. There are containers all over the place, but they're not seaworthy. And they must be. The inspector won't pass one if it's not seaworthy. He won't allow it to be loaded on a ship and transported across the sea. If there was one on there that had weak corners and all the ones above it had precious and cargo in them, and that one collapsed, all those things would come down and be destroyed, and that container, the one that collapsed, would be the liable party for all of that. And so he's praying that God will help him locate a 40-foot sea container. He needs us to pray in that regards. He's praying for $10,000 by tomorrow morning so that the payroll in Africa can be met for the workers there, the pastors and the people working in the colleges and in the orphanage. That's a great sum of money. And he requested that we pray with him for that. Others need us to pray, and that's why we ought to pray. Last week, we interrupted that question, why we are to pray, and we suggested ways to pray for our big day.
And we did that tonight here, and I appreciate your helping us with that. Tonight we're returning to the thought about why we are to pray. I'm going to give you a fourth reason to that question. But first, let's read the scriptures here in Luke chapter 11. Let's read the first four verses where the Bible says, "And it come to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." There's a fourth reason why it is that we are to pray. Yes, we're commanded. Yes, we're allowed to. Yes, others need us to pray. But here we see that we are to pray because we want to pray. I pray because I want to pray. That is suggested here in the passage of Scripture by one of the disciples. In verse number 1, it says, "One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." He was saying, we want to do this. We have a desire. One of our longings is to be able to pray. They became aware of this possibility to learn how to pray by watching the Master pray, by watching and observing Jesus on his knees in prayer. The verse says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," as Jesus was praying in a certain place, "when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him," and I don't doubt at all that all of the disciples were gathered there together, "and this one spoke up." We don't know exactly which one, but I have a feeling it might have been Peter. He seemed to be the spokesman for the group. And he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he wasn't just speaking in regards to himself, but I think the other disciples present there were interested in learning how to pray and wanted to be able to pray. Notice that they didn't ask to be able to heal the sick. They had observed the Lord Jesus Christ doing that. They had seen him touch the blind eye of an individual and restore sight to that person. But they did not say, "Lord, teach us how to do that." They did not say, "Lord, teach us to touch some lame person and see them stand on their feet again. Lord, we'd like to learn how to do that as well as we have seen you do that." They did not say, "Lord, teach us to raise the dead." They had observed him doing that, didn't they? But they did not say, "Lord, we desire to do that very same thing. So teach us to raise the dead." They did not say, "Lord, teach us to cast out demons." They didn't even say, "Lord, teach us to do it in your name." And they had seen him do that. The maniac at Gadara. They had witnessed God's power. Christ's spoken word and his touch as he said, "Leave him alone." They could have easily said, "Lord, teach us how to do that. We'd like to be able to cast out demons and set people free as well." They seen him do those things, and they also seen him walk on water. But they didn't. Well, one of them said, "Lord, teach me how to do that." Remember Peter when he was in the boat? Peter is the only human being that I'm aware of who has some experience in walking on water. Granted, he didn't do it very long, but he did it more than I have. He's done it more than you have. And they could have said, "Oh, Lord, teach us how to do that. That's a great thing. We'd like to be able to walk on water. That'd get somebody's attention. And then we could give them the message." But they didn't ask him to teach that to them. They could have said, "Lord, teach us to preach." But they didn't. I mean, after all, they were in the presence of the master preacher and teacher.
Yes, sir.
If anybody knew how to expound the word, it was Jesus. And they could have said, "Lord, we need help in our ministry. Teach us to preach." Preacher boys like to get underneath the guidance and the wing of an elder man of God, a seasoned man of God, and learn some things. And these disciples could have said, Lord, teach us to preach. We're going to have to do this when you leave us. You said you were going back to heaven after the cross. And Lord, when you leave us, we understand that you want us to go about preaching and teaching. So teach us how to preach. But they didn't ask. They didn't ask for that to be taught to them. They did say, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that interesting? The one thing that they desired was to know how to pray. They observed the Lord Jesus praying and said, there's something to that. He's connecting with God the Father in heaven. And if it's possible for us to do that, then we want to learn how to do that. Lord, teach us to pray. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to pray? Do you desire to pray? Do you long to pray? Do you really have that yearning desire to spend time with God in prayer? Christians ought to want to pray. We ought to want to make connection with the Heavenly Father. I can remember times in my life when I really wanted something. I remember growing up as a young teenage boy attending high school that I had a great desire, a want, to make the basketball team. Fellas, I'd get out in my yard. I'd get out beside our house. We had a barn where we were living for a time alongside a street, and there was no light out there, but we had a makeshift goal that Dad had helped me put up on it. It wasn't even regulation 10 feet high, but it was the highest as we could get it. And the road that come down alongside the barn was on a grade. It wasn't flat, but I'd get out there and I'd shoot baskets. I'd pretend like I was in a game and the people were guarding me, and I'd make a certain move and I'd break free and I'd score the basket. I'd run in, and because the goal was lower, I could dunk the ball in the basket. And I thought I was a big shot. And I thought, man, I'm going to work hard at this so I can make the team, the high school team. I had a desire to want to do that. I'd stay out there long after dark on a makeshift free throw line, and I would shoot at that basket trying to make so many in a row. I could hear Mama call me sometimes, say, it's time to come in. And I'd say, just let me make one more. I wanted to excel in basketball. I remember a time in my young life when I wanted to get my driver's license. How about that, young people? I remember getting close to that age, and I thought, boy, I want to get this thing. It'll give me some independence. It'll give me some freedom. I'll be able to go some places and do some things. I want my license. And so I worked hard at studying the manual and trying to secure my license. I remember there was a time when I wanted to graduate from high school. I didn't want to be a lifelong student. I didn't want to stay in the eighth grade any longer than necessary. I wanted to move on to high school, and then I didn't want to stay in the 12th grade any longer than necessary. I wanted to graduate so bad that when the opportunity was presented for seniors to graduate 6 months early in their senior year, I said, what do you got to do to make that happen? I went to my different teachers, and I said, is it possible for me to do that? And I worked hard to be able to see that come to pass because I wanted to graduate high school. And then it wasn't long after that I wanted to get married. I saw a young lady that caught my eye, and I said, whew, I want to get married to her. I couldn't wait. I looked forward to that. And then after we got married, it wasn't long, and we decided that it'd be fun to have children. I don't know why we thought that, because it's really not fun to have children. But we had a thought that moment that, hey, let's have some kids. Praise God, the thought soon passed. We only had two. And they're raised. Well, they're grown. They're not raised, but I remember we wanted to have children. We talked about it. And we said, yeah, let's do it. And we are thankful for the two boys that we have. They're a blessing to their mom and daddy. And then I remember as we got older in life, and our boys became men, and they fell in love with a young lady, and they decided to have children. I thought, man, I wanted to have grandchildren for some time. I didn't know it was this much fun. If I knew it was this much fun, I'd have wanted to have them a long time before I even had my own kids. I wanted to have grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. I love spending time with them.
I've got one now that's about just about to turn three, and he's just got familiar with the phone and how to operate one. And so he gets his mom or daddy's cell phone, and he calls up Pop, and he says, "Hey, Pop, it's Levi." And that's all he says. I say, "Yeah, buddy, what are you doing?" He said, "Hey, Pop, it's Levi." I said, "Yeah, you coming to my house?" He said, "Hey, Pop, it's Levi." Man, we just carry on like that for a few minutes, and then I hear the phone go silent, dead, and I know that he's through. I'm thankful that God put that want to in me to have grandchildren and be a grandpa to those kids. We ought to be the same way when it comes to prayer. We ought to want to pray. We ought to desire to see our lives develop to the place where we are able to get on our knees and spend time with God. We ought to seek the opportunity to pray and welcome it at any time in our life. How bad do you want to pray? Do you want it more than something else in your life? Is it something that you're willing to pursue with every effort in your being? Is it worth giving up some things in order for you to have that opportunity to pray? Do you want to pray? That's one of the reasons why we're to pray, simply because we want to. And then I say this, a Christian who wants to pray desires to be alone with God. That's a great thing. A Christian who desires to pray, or wants to pray, desires to be alone with God. Do you long to spend time with your Maker, with your God? Do you desire to communicate with Him? Are you uneasy about being alone with Him whenever you have opportunity to get in His presence? Do you kind of stumble around saying, "Lord, I'm here, but I don't know what to say now"? A Christian who wants to pray desires to be alone with God. Remember what I shared with you about that great Jewish evangelist, Hyman Appleman, a few weeks ago? Remember how it was observed one time when he was praying with another pastor in his study that he was there on the carpet, stretched out, prostrate, and he was sobbing and weeping, and he began to pray in the midst of all of that crying, and the preacher that was with him could barely make sense of what he was saying, but he got this much out of him. He said, "Lord, it's Hyman again. Lord, I'm coming to you because I desire to bury my face in your feet and tell you that I love you. Tell you that I want to be alone with you for just a few moments. Tell you that I want to be intimate with you, if I may. God, I want to get to know you better through this time that we have. Lord, if you and I could just somehow make love with each other, not in an ugly way, but in a very beautiful way." A Christian who wants to pray desires to be alone with God, desires to interact with Him one-on-one. Do you want to pray? Do you desire to be alone with God? A praying Christian wants God to meet his needs. He seeks God's help. Some people don't want to have to humble themselves and say, "I have a need." Some people are too prideful to say, "I don't want to admit that I need God's help. Brother, it don't bother me one bit to say, 'God, I'm weak and I'm needy. God, I'm low and I need your help.' I don't mind swallowing my pride. It don't taste too good, but I know that it's beneficial for me to do it, and it makes it possible for God to meet my needs." The Bible says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." A praying Christian wants God to meet his needs. Don't be one who works hard to be dependent on yourself and not relying upon the Lord. We ought to want God to get the credit for the things that He does in our lives. Amen. We ought to want to lean upon Him and say, "Oh God, I need your help." We're living in a borrowed world, aren't we? Yeah. We're breathing borrowed air, aren't we? You're sitting on borrowed space, aren't you? Everything that you are enjoying is borrowed blessings from God. Truly, God has been good to us. And the least we can do, swallow our pride and tell God we appreciate Him meeting our needs. Amen. A praying Christian desires to humble themselves before God and say, "Lord, help me." Sometimes as Christians, we pray to God for our wants instead of our needs. And the problem with that is we often want the wrong things. for the wrong reasons. And that's why some people, Christians, do not want to pray, because they know in their heart that what they want is not God's will. We need to line up with God's will. We need to know what God's will is. And when we ask for things, it needs to be things that we don't just want, but things that we need. Things that we know God can help us with. We want wealth, but oftentimes it's for our selfish desires. God, make me wealthy so I don't have to worry about anything. So that whatever whim I have, I can just go out and get whatever I think I want. We pray for wealth, and maybe that's the reason why there ain't too many wealthy people in the church. Maybe that's the reason why God don't answer that request in the way that we're asking. Because He knows we want it for the wrong reasons. We want health to be able to do the things that we enjoy doing. But those things should include the Lord's work and His will for our life. When I was sick with the stroke and I was recovering and going to rehab and working so hard to get some things back, I wanted to get healthy for a couple reasons. I wanted to get healthy for my wife's sake and my family's sake. I thought that I still needed to be around for them. I thought that it was way too soon for me to leave them, and I wanted to be here. And so by the doctor's recommendations, I tried to start doing everything that I could to get healthy again. But I also wanted to get healthy for the Lord's sake, because I knew that He had called me, that He had put me in this pastorate. And I know that sheep need a shepherd. And I said, God, if I'm the man for the hour, if this is not a way for You to remove me, then God, help me to get healthy so that I can be the shepherd of the flock. That's not selfish. That's for God's purposes. That's for God's glory. That's the way that we ought to be praying. Not for the things that we want so much as the things that we need. We desire something that will make our life easier. But it ain't about an easy life. It's about living a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. And if going through a stroke will teach me some things, if going through these things will benefit me and help me to grow in the Lord and become the man of God that He wants me to be, then I say thank God for it, Brother Jason. I praise His name for showing me the things that I need and not just the things that I want. I didn't ask for a stroke, please understand. I didn't want to go. I needed to lose some weight. I knew that I was out of shape and that was unhealthy. And I wanted to lose some weight. I needed to, but I didn't want to do it that way. That's a terrible weight loss program. But in God's providence, He saw that's the way it needed to happen. Thank You, Lord, for giving me the things that I need. I want to tell You, I love You in spite of what's happened in my life. George Mueller was a man who knew how to get a hold of God. He wanted things from Him, not for his own sake, not so that he could benefit, so that little orphans could find love and acceptance in Jesus in their life. And so George Mueller wanted to pray. He learned how to talk to God. George Mueller had some great answers to his prayers. It would come to the very point of mealtime at the orphanage, and the workers would come to him and say, "We don't have any food." And George Mueller would instruct them, "Go ahead and set the children down, prepare them for the meal." And they would say, "We don't think You heard us. We don't have any meal." And he would say, "Just leave me alone for a minute." And he'd get on his face before God, and he'd cry out. And miraculously, God would meet the need. God would send it just in time. That's kind of praying I want to get involved in. That's the way I want to connect with God. That's the way I want to enter into His presence, knowing that He's interested in hearing from me and I have an opportunity to be alone with Him and tell Him what I need. When he wanted great things from God, he was able to get them because God was glorified in those things. See, folks, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about this church or that church. It's not about some movement that's going on in the world. It's about God showing Himself strong on behalf of His people. It's about Him being glorified. Amen. As a Christian, I want to pray. Do you? It doesn't bother me one bit to tell God I have some needs.
I want him to meet. Needs only he can meet. In this rat race world that I'm living in, I look forward to some one-on-one time with him and just being able to say, God, I love you. I'm thankful for the privilege to just lose myself in him. I'm thankful that you folks agreed and were willing to participate in little pockets of prayer, little groups of prayer here in the beginning of the service. It's a blessing to hear you pray. But you know what? I wasn't so interested in listening to you as I was having God listen to me. And I wanted him to hear from my heart to his that I loved him and I appreciate him. And I'm thankful for everything that he's doing in my life. And I just lost track of what everybody else was doing. You say, that's impossible to do in a room full of people. No, it's not. When you want to pray. When you make that connection with God. A Christian should want to follow Christ's teaching about prayer. Real quick, Jesus taught his disciples to pray as they requested. Look at the verses there in verses 2 through 4. He said unto them, he begins his teaching. He says, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A Christian should want to follow Christ's teaching about prayer. We ought to recognize his deity. That's God Almighty that we're talking to. That's the Heavenly Father. That's the creator of the universe. It's not the man upstairs. It's God Almighty. Recognize his deity. Number two, says there in verse number 2, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. We ought to resign ourselves to his will. Not about us, but it's about him. What he wants to accomplish in us and through us and for us. Resign ourselves to his will. Number 3, he taught them that they ought to rely upon him for daily provision. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Lord, don't load my shelves up so that I have a surplus. Just give us day by day our daily bread. Just teach us to live by faith like the children of Israel who trusted you for the manna that was provided on a daily basis. God, help us to rely on you for our daily provision. He taught them, fourthly, to repent of any sin. Look at verse 4. And forgive us our sins. When you come before God, you ought to take inventory. You ought to evaluate yourself. You ought to search your soul and see if there be anything between you and the Lord. And if it's known, you ought to confess it. If there's something unknown, you ought to ask God to reveal it in your life so that you can confess it. Repent of our sins. And then number 5, in verse 4 there, he said, recognize his way of escape. Look at it. He said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sometimes we don't give God the credit that he is worthy of. He makes a way of escape for us. In every temptation, if we'll just look for it, if we'll recognize that he has opened the door unto us so that we can escape and be spared from any future harm, from any disgrace, from any falling into sin. We need to recognize his way of escape. Do you want to pray? How long has it been since you got alone with God and said, I want to talk to you, Lord. I want an audience with you more than anything else. Remove the distractions and let me focus entirely upon thee. I want you to show me that you're big enough to meet my need. God, they're great. And I don't know where else to go but to you, but I want you to show me that you're big enough to meet my needs. I know you're my Father, and I want your will to be done in my life. I'm sorry for any sin, and I want you to give me the wisdom to see a way out of any temptation, a way of escape. Do you want to pray? If so, ask the Lord to teach you how to pray.